Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 6th of September, recording at 9:16 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, greetings, and it's nice to be back after a three-week break, although I was able to relax knowing that Owen was doing such a good job on your behalf. Fuller Money, as veteran subscribers will know, is no longer a one-man band, nor has it been for the last several years. Now, first the highlights on today's action. Asian stock markets, generally a pretty strong performance. China pushing higher yet again. That's been a very consistent theme. A number of the other stock markets opened a bit soft on the day following Wall Street's decline last night, but then rallied and closed near the highs. And they included India, one of the stronger performances in a generally impressive Asian sector. European stock markets opened up following those good performances in Asia, then lost the gains, moved to the downside, and then recovered towards the close for the most part. And Wall Street also closed out with some moderately good gains overall. But the real drama here in markets was a surge in precious metals, particularly gold, up 1388. This is in latest price on spot bullion and after hours trading, taking it up to 6.95 and 68 cents. We also had quite a good gain in platinum, but remember that's at twice the price, so almost twice the price, so the gain of $15.90 was not as big as eyebrow raising as gold's advance. Silver up, palladium up, they were all up. The industrial metals are mostly higher as well. Crude oil, which has been quite strong recently, currently up 70 cents at 76.43. That's the NYMEX spot price. Has been higher, got up as high as 77.43, but a very steady performance overall, not mirrored by natural gas, which has continued to lag and is at one of its bigger historic discounts to the price of crude. You can see that, to see a chart of that in the library. Grains and beans. Wheat, of course, has had this run of very, very powerful, almost daily gains, including limit up yesterday and I think the day before, closing with modest losses here today, following some acceleration. And in currencies, the dollar is soft in here again today, but off its lows. The euro is currently at 136.87. The dollar slipped to 120.15. against the Swiss franc. We had some chunky gains in the Australian and New Zealand dollars today, and they have, during the general market volatility, not to say turmoil, we saw some big sell-offs in the Antipodean currencies against the US dollar. Now steadying, and the dollar is up 10 ticks here against the yen at 115.38. Okay, so what's going on here overall, aside from the volatility and drama? Well, in terms of stock markets, first one can't lump them all together in terms of their general overall actions. For instance, the bad news, the Western banks, also the Japanese banks, have had an absolutely abysmal performance. And although they have steadied since the 16th and 17th of August, they have been decidedly unimpressive here overall. In other words, big declines, very modest rallies today, really just sort of ranging above the lows. And you go from that extreme to China, where the Chinese indices have powered to new high ground. And that's not just the mainland Chinese indices. We've seen that with the Hang Seng Index, and we've seen it with the H Shares Index traded out of Hong Kong. We see some of the other Asian markets, such as India, subcontinent, up quite close to its all-time highs. Very steady performance. Wall Street, 50% retracement, then running into a little resistance, 50% retracement of the decline, that is. The many European stock markets showing somewhat similar action, although where the banks are a heavy part of the weighting, and they've underperformed somewhat, not surprisingly. So what's it all mean? Well, statistically, you could say we've certainly seen a bear market in the Western banks and the Japanese banks, and that's a worry for those markets. It's likely to be a drag on upside potential, and a further downward break by the banks would certainly weigh on the broader indices generally for those countries. Now, conversely, once we see some improvement in relative performance by these Western and Japanese banks, then I think a quite bullish overall environment will have returned. But overall, and I should say before going on, I should say that is currently the case in a number of the Asian markets. For instance, you look at the Indian bank sector, look at the South Korean bank sector, or the Thai bank sector, or China's banking sector, and they're all doing extremely well. And that's also reflected in the good performance of the broader indices. So, when it's all done and dusted, as I say, bear market activity in the European, North American, and Japanese banking sectors, and they haven't recovered enough to give an all-clear signal after these big and accelerated downside moves. The broader indices in those regions suggest that they're seeing no more than a medium-term correction, but given the weakness of banks, given the fact that this was a fundamentally driven sell-off in addition to a technically overextended position prior to the selling, we have to anticipate a fairly lengthy convalescence. Owen has stressed the importance of the August reaction lows. I really want to underline that point. At a time when some people have been apocalyptically bearish, the practical fact is, you go look at those charts, we can't see a bigger correction where corrections have occurred, let alone the much forecast bear market, without taking out those August reaction lows. Most indices are comfortably above those levels, although not the financials, as I keep indicating in some regions. Now, other markets have seen little more than reactions. In other words, much smaller setbacks than corrections, and have moved back to their highs, and in a few instances, moved on up into new high ground. Nothing that I'm aware of has actually taken out its mid-August reaction lows to date. So the infusion of liquidity that's been coming from central banks and the rate cuts that we have. See, well, the rate cut, the discount rate cut that we've seen from the Fed has certainly helped to steady nerves, led to some short covering, led to some bargain hunting and buying overall. And the action has been really quite reasonable. Now, what's done best? Asia, for the most part, resources markets, it's that same theme which I maintain. And Owen has maintained as a secular theme that these are the areas that are most interesting. These are the areas that often have the least downside risk, and some of the most outstanding upside potential. That's been the case for the last nearly 5 years, and I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't the case for a number of years running. In terms of government bonds, they have been taking their cues from stock markets all along, and I think that will continue to be the case. A little bit of a mixed performance here overall, but I don't think that there's much additional upside in terms of long-dated government bond prices. In other words, not much additional downside for long-dated government bond yields. Unless stock markets break their August reaction lows. But at this stage, the rally gains are being held for the most part, although these markets have run into a little bit of understandable resistance as stock markets have steadied. In terms of potential here, I would not want to have positions. I do not have any positions in the long-dated government-to-government bond markets. I regard that as essentially just a temporary bolt hole at a time when stock markets are weak, and then providing shorting opportunities thereafter. Are there shorting opportunities in long-dated government bonds right now? Potentially. I think, as I say, we've seen the best of the gains that were likely to get overall. And precious metals. This is, I think, one of the most interesting themes. When I came back and I read some of the commentary coming out of the Jackson Hole, I believe it was, the central bank confab over the weekend, I thought, well, this is a recipe for some significant rate cuts coming out of the USA in coming months. The push will be for a softer US dollar, which we're beginning to see. And gold, by virtue of the fact that it hadn't performed prior to the stock market correction, and for a good long time, for over a year at least, it hadn't performed, but had been in a lengthy medium-term consolidation phase, is springing to life. And I think we will see the breakout that I have forecast for the latter part of this year by gold on the upside. It got quite close to the $700 level today. We've seen some very powerful upward dynamics. Gold is beginning to appreciate in all currencies. It is not beginning to, it is appreciating against all currencies. Not through to new all-time highs, but it is breaking through some resistance levels within the consolidation patterns, or where it had seen the biggest corrections, appears to have put in some significant lows. So this is a very, very interesting time, I believe, for gold and gold-related instruments. The other precious metals have lagged here recently. Gold has been very much at the vanguard, and that suggests to me that there's some fairly weighty and perhaps quite conservative money that's moved in this direction. I think they're right, and I think that I agree with something that Owen had said. I think it was earlier in the week that once we get a break in gold, a sustained break above the $700 level, I think that former high up at that we saw last year, up in the 730 or was it 735 area, that's not going to provide more than token resistance. So I wouldn't be surprised to see at least 750 on the gold price before year end. Real opportunity there. And it would be astonishing if the other precious metals didn't play some catch-up against that background overall. The outlook for the industrial metals is more mixed in this environment overall. I think that concern about some global economic slowdown may hold prices in check overall, but really, when I say that, we're only talking about medium-term corrections at worst within their overall secular bull markets. The wheat situation, I need to study a little bit further before commenting on that, other than the chart action, which looks a bit overextended in the short term. But I'm awfully glad for that wonderful email that we had from a very, very informed subscriber who has had some stunning calls on the greens, pointing out that that came in just as I was leaving on holiday, and I know Owen posted it, pointing out some of the stunning potential that we had in the wheat market, and my goodness, how right that forecast has been. Crude oil, same story here. Secular bull market, same story as I should say as the other industrial commodities. We saw a correction when stock markets were at their weakest, and most of those losses have been regrouped all within the long-term overall upward trend. So I do expect higher levels overall. Now, in terms of the dollar, I have mentioned that I think we'll get a weaker dollar in here. It can range sideways at best overall. We did see quite a sharp rally when people deleveraged. That rally was particularly sharp against some of the thinner quasi-reserve currencies, the Australian dollar and the New Zealand dollar, as I mentioned in the beginning. Now, to me, this is primarily just a massive deleveraging of some very, very speculative positions, and I wouldn't be surprised to see some strong gains in the Aussie and New Zealand dollars in over the next few weeks and months overall. So I do look for a weaker greenback, and I think that would only be delayed if we saw another down leg on the stock markets. Meanwhile, I'll give the upside the benefit of the doubt until or unless those August reaction lows are taken out. And I think that's enough of a review here for today. So I'll just say all the best to all of you.